I think everybody in the chapel recognizes this dear lady, but those who are watching on the internet will have no idea who she is, except for the folks that the many friends in L.A. and other places. Miss Beth is from L.A. I don't know how many of you know that. Now, that's not Los Angeles. That's Lower Alabama. But Miss Beth, thank you so much for agreeing to come and share what Jesus has done in your life. Miss Beth and her husband, Pat Brown, have been here at the ranch since October of 1998. They came at a time when we were without house parents at Laurel Ridge, and we only had two girls' homes, one boy's home, one girl's home at that time. And so we really needed house parents for young ladies. And we had a mentor who was from South Alabama, and we asked everybody at the ranch and elsewhere, please pray that God would send us a house parent couple. And if you know anybody who might be a good candidate, let us know. Well, this young lady, who was a mentor, thought of a very wonderful, joyful, godly couple who love Jesus and just might be willing to come. And so she told us about Pat and Beth Brown, and when she went home for the break, the end of the summer, she asked the Browns to please pray about coming here. And as God had ordained, they had just had a vacation up this way. And driving through Ware's Valley, they saw a sign for Ware's Valley Ranch. And they wondered, I wonder what that is. Little did they know that they would soon be here living in such a vital part of the ministry. Beth, thank you for agreeing to come and share your testimony this morning.
My pleasure.
Now, we've been interviewing a variety of people from, shall we say, varied backgrounds.
Yes.
All kinds of backgrounds. And your background really, as far as I'm aware, you never were a drug dealer. Is that right?
That's right.
You were, as most people would see you, a wonderful married lady with children whom you didn't neglect and whom you really loved on and respected in the community and active in the church. Is that true?
Very true.
But you didn't know Jesus, did you?
No.
Well, that's why we want to talk with you. Because there are a lot of people who think they're saved. And they're not. Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we did this and this and this and this and this. And he says, I'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. If you would share with us, you can talk to me, but they'll listen in. Share how God dealt with you, a little bit of your background, your childhood, so forth. And then how God broke through.
My parents raised me to be good citizens, good mm-hmm. people, you know, that kind of stuff. I was blessed in that. And, but I can tell you that trying to be a Christian is no fun.
Mm-hmm.
You do your best, but your best is not ever good enough. And so anyway, my very great pastor in Dothan, Alabama, had such a heart for revival.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the, there are a lot of people in our country that seek God constantly for revival.
Praise God.
Because, you know, and so we had this evangelist from Euless, Texas, who came, and I think he had about 7 terminal illnesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God had to just kind of hold him up at the pulpit for him to speak God's truth, and he had lived through a lot of things.
Yes.
But he was so anointed, brother. Oh, Jim, just amazing. And so we were having morning and afternoon services. And so that morning, one of our daughters was in school, and the other daughter was still at home. And so we went to the morning service, and God gripped my heart so strongly, I guess would be the word, that I could barely walk to my car.
Mm.
I was under such conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And the message that morning was, if you don't know that you're saved, know that you know that
Amen.
You're saved. Get along with God. He knows.
Praise God.
Isn't that amazing? God knows if he's our Savior.
Amen.
And so Melanie was just a little girl. And so I said, you know, we had a little playroom. He said, Mel, you stay here. Mommy's going to lie down on the couch. And so I did, and just really sought the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, do I know you?
Mm-hmm.
If not, will you reveal yourself to me?
Praise God.
And so he did.
Praise God.
He let me know that I did not know him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the most amazing thing to me, was the difference,
mm-hmm.
you know. There wasn't a lot of difference in my life. I mean, I tried to be good. Do y'all know where I'm coming from? You
mm-hmm.
try to be good. Do your best, and it's not good enough, is it, Pastor?
Amen.
And so anyway, I had my Bible with me. I prayed. Lord, please show me. And so that afternoon, I fed Mel lunch, and then you put her down for a nap. And that afternoon, I fell asleep. I was so tired and struggling so hard, and I fell asleep. And I just remember this. And so while I was sleeping, I dreamed. God does give dreams.
Amen.
And he showed me Jesus on the cross.
Mm.
Dying for my sins.
Praise God.
Not anyone else's, but my sins, mm-hmm. put him there.
Mm-hmm.
And, once he showed me that I was lost, I knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knelt and asked the Lord to come into my heart and save me. And I can just be truthful, Brother Jim, and say... that Pat was not really surprised, because he had had to live with me all those years. I mean, I tried, trying will not get you there.
Amen.
But God was so gracious to me in that he just poured out his life into me.
Praise God.
And it was such a change.
Praise God.
You can never doubt when you're 32 years old. And you get saved. I just don't think you doubt. Now, the enemy will test me on that. But anyway, it was just amazing.
You began to experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit, didn't you?
Amen. And it's wonderful.
Amen.
It meets every need and desire in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit does. He is just so wonderful.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think... I know there are many people. I've had the privilege of praying with a number of pastors over the years to get saved, including one who was already in retirement. He was not actively serving anymore.
Wow.
But he was in retirement, mm-hmm. and I was a teenager at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he asked to meet with me, and as we talked, I got to share the gospel with him. Now, this is a guy who had a doctorate. He'd been president of a denominational college. He had pastored a large church. He was well-known and well-respected, but he was lost. Because, as you said, trying to be a Christian is a miserable thing.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it really is. It's like pushing a rope uphill. You know, it just... it's like trying to run a chainsaw without starting the engine. You know, it's just, it's very difficult. Chuck Swindoll, years ago, said, there are three stages that are vital to the Christian life. The first is, wow, this is easy. And the second is, wow, this is hard. And the third is, wow, this is impossible. And then you're ready to start the Christian life. Because when you're depending on yourself, when you think you're going to earn it, like the Galatians were being tempted to believe, when you think that you've got to do this and don't do this and do this and don't do this, and man, it is like balancing plates on a stick. You're exhausted, and sooner or later, something's going to fall. And then you have to start all over again. But when you come to the end of yourself, and you realize there's nothing I can do to save myself, but there's one who died for me, and because of him, I can be forgiven and have eternal life, and you put your trust in him. That's what the Galatians had to be taught. Amen. When you put your trust in Jesus, he really does save. No one who cries out to him for salvation is going to be rejected. No, sorry, you're not good enough. No, sorry, you're not one of the chosen. Only the chosen cry out to him for salvation. It is God's grace that draws us to himself. But let me tell you something. You've got to know you need grace. Now, Miss Beth, you were 32 when you got saved. And as you said, Pat didn't argue with you when you said you hadn't really been saved up to that point. He found it believable?
Yes, there.
Even though he loved you, didn't he?
Yes. I was just kind of a high-strung
type. High-strung. That's a nice word for it. That's a nice word for it. Some of you may know someone who's high-strung. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. Oh, wow. What a nice thing to have in a home. And now you've been married 54 years. 54 years. I think that people could learn something from this lady and her husband about the grace of God and how to make a marriage last, how he can make a marriage last. At 32, God saved you, and he's the one who did it.
Absolutely.
It wasn't what you did, it was what he did. But after that, really, your life has been pretty much a breeze, hasn't it? No difficulties, no problems.
If you believe that, I've got some property I want to sell you.
There you go. That's right. You've had plenty of challenges, haven't you? Before you came to the ranch, you were diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
Is that painful?
Most of the time.
I know the answer to that question. My grandmother had rheumatoid arthritis, and it is a very painful condition. We've got a friend right now who has arthritis, juvenile arthritis, and it's a painful condition.
That one is bad.
And daily, you have to depend on the Lord, don't you?
I do.
And we really prayed about, you know, we need somebody at Laurel Ridge, and this couple loves Jesus. Before you heard about the ranch, the Lord had led you and Pat to eliminate all debt in your life, so that you were totally debt-free, because you both felt like there was something God wanted you to do, but you weren't quite sure what. We were what? Okay? God was preparing them to come here. Pat had been a school principal. He owned a construction company. I mean, you all had a very nice life. You owned your own home there in Alabama. You had a good, easy, I don't know about easy, you had a good life in L.A., and God called you to come here, and we thought, our only concern is Miss Beth's health, because she has this chronic condition, rheumatoid arthritis, and I know that's a painful thing. But there was such joy and such peace and such positive energy in this couple and in Miss Beth, and such a servant's heart, and such great teamwork, we decided they were the Lord's provision, and wow, were we right. They came, and they loved those girls, and the girls loved them, and their love for the Lord was so evident. It was just a beautiful thing. And then after they'd been here not all that long, Miss Beth got another diagnosis, and it was cancer. Miss Beth, do you remember how long you'd been here at that point? I don't remember.
About a year and a half.
About a year and a half. It was just like, how can this be? I mean, they love Jesus. They love the girls. The girls love them. We all love them. And now she's been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And I had done funeral for a person with ovarian cancer. And I'd known other people who'd had ovarian cancer. And those who knew Jesus were already in heaven. Miss Beth was the first person that I knew personally who recovered from ovarian cancer. And I am so glad. Because that was 2000. And this is 2020. So I'd say she's clear. Amen? Now, the way that that recovery took place was you had surgery. Is that right? You had chemo.
Yes.
Did you have to have radiation too? Okay. Surgery and chemo. And your hair came out, didn't it?
I was gorgeous.
You know, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing for a beautiful lady to lose all her hair. But she never lost her smile. She never lost her joy. She never lost her peace. And she never stopped praying for the rest of us, even as we prayed for her. A pair of former house parents who were still working for the ranch, but not as house parents at the time, stepped back into the home, and they were interim with the girls. And I've just got to tell you this, while they were serving as the interim house parents, the house dad developed an infection in his heart that almost killed him and dramatically reduced his heart function. He literally almost died from the heart condition while they were filling in for Pat and Beth. When I say that there's spiritual warfare in this place and that people need to be praying for us every day and that those of us who live here and work here need to be praying, I'm not just trying to be dramatic. I'm telling you, God loves the kids and the staff at Ware's Valley Ranch, but the devil hates what's going on. Absolutely hates what God is doing in this place. And he will attack you in your thought life. He'll attack you in your health. He'll attack you in your finances. He attacks because he opposes the work of God. He is a liar and the father of lies. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it should not surprise us that there is opposition to what God is doing in this place. But I'll tell you something else. God wins all the time. Jesus is victor. He conquered the grave. And not only did he bring Pat and Beth through that trial, and they returned to house parenting, but God brought that other couple through that trial, and they continued to work for the ranch for many more years and are still friends living in Knoxville, and he's teaching, actually, at another Christian school, as I heard, which was probably 2 years ago. Now, here's the deal. If God loves us so much, why do all these things happen to us? And the Bible says it's for his glory.
Amen.
And for our good.
Amen.
What the enemy means for evil, God uses for our good.
Amen.
And for his glory. Miss Beth, would you say that looking back, you really miss the old life before you yielded yourself to the Lord?
No way.
Never want to go back, do you?
Never.
Now, the reason I say that is because whether you've been a drug dealer or whether you've been a church lady, people who really come to know Christ don't want to go back to Egypt, okay? Once you really know him, it's not like, oh, I've given up so much to follow Jesus. You will give up everything to follow Jesus, and you will never regret it. You will never regret it. I have met so many people who've known the Lord and served the Lord a long, long time, and not one has ever said to me, yeah, but you know, I really miss the days when I was just living for myself. Not one. Not one. Nobody's ever said that. It's not, you know, it was so good being lost. It was so good just living for myself. Now, nobody has ever told me that. But I'll tell you what I've heard, and I know, Beth, you've heard this too. So many people who say, oh, I wish I'd come to know him sooner.
Oh, yes.
Amen?
And Pat does too.
Every person who comes to know Christ wishes that it had just been sooner, that they trusted him more. You will never regret it.
Amen.
If you put your trust in him. But folks, you're not just trusting him to forgive your sins. You're trusting him to be Lord of your life, to be the boss, to be the master. And you can't do it in your own strength. But as Miss Beth has shared, when you yield your life to him, he shows up, doesn't he? His Holy Spirit comes to live the life of Christ through us. And that doesn't mean that we are instantly perfected in spiritual maturity. It does mean that we are no longer on our own. We are no longer having to do this in our own strength.
Amen.
Miss Beth, who are some of the authors? I know you post on Facebook people that you enjoy reading. Who are some of the authors that have really blessed you over the years that you go back to? I know you spend a lot of time in Scripture, because that shows up on Facebook too. But who are some of the authors that you appreciate who've encouraged and strengthened you?
Well, the man that was preaching wrote several good books.
That was Manly Beasley?
Manly Beasley.
Great.
Who is the missionary? I just read something. I'm struggling with my memory these days.
Well, we can talk about that too, because that's something I can experience. Okay? I know you quote from A.W. Tozer.
Yeah.
You quote from Corrie ten Boom.
That's her.
Corrie ten Boom. Let me tell you, these are great
precious folks.
And their writings are rich. But you mentioned you are having some struggles with memory. And that is something that you're also having to trust the Lord with.
Absolutely.
Because you watched your mom battle with that.
And grandmother.
And grandmother. So both your mother and grandmother had memory issues. Your mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And she went to be with Jesus
a couple of years ago. Almost 94. A week from being 94.
A week from being 94 years old. But at that point, not knowing how old she was.
Yeah.
My mom also was not diagnosed with Alzheimer's, but definitely for a number of years before she died, had no idea how old she was, didn't know most of the time where she was, and often thought that I was either my brother or her brother when I went to visit her. I went to visit her one morning, and we had a wonderful visit, and I went back that afternoon because she was local. I went back that afternoon to see her again, and I asked her how her day was going. She said, oh, wonderful, your brother Bill came to see me this morning. And I said, well, that's just great. I didn't say, no, that was me. That was me. I want brownie points. Okay. But I was glad that Mother could feel that she'd had a visit from my older brother, and I called him on the phone, and I said, you owe me. You know the wonderful thing about memory loss, and there are some wonderful things about it. Even though there are things we wish we could remember, there are some things it's good not to. Amen?
Amen.
And even if we get to the point where we're not sure where we are, God knows where we are.
Because Because he will never leave us or forsake us.
Exactly. He will never leave us or forsake us. I was reminding the Lord of that before we got up here. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's our only hope. And folks, if you're hoping in anything else, you need to repent. Put your hope in Jesus. Trust him. He will never fail you. Beth, anything else you want to share before I close with prayer?
I would. There's one thing. I don't even know if you know this, but Pat was saved after I was. I didn't know he was lost. He was the best person I'd ever met, just about. Mm-hmm. Of course, I loved him, so that made a difference, too. Mm-hmm. But within 5 years after I was saved, our whole family was saved.
Praise God.
And that was the most wonderful gift.
Amen.
To know we would be together for eternity.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful.
And these beautiful 8 grandchildren, you know.
Yes. Yes.
They're all saved.
Praise the Lord.
As far as they know or we know.
But yeah.
That's the blessing of belonging to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. The reason we get saved is because Jesus came to save us.
That's right.
It's not because we talk our way into it or work our way into it. It's because God in his mercy sent Jesus to save us. If you're here this morning or you're listening to this message and you're not sure whether or not you really know the Lord, as Miss Beth shared, as Manly Beasley shared, you need to ask God, because God knows. And you need to ask him. And if you are not saved, cry out to him to save you. Don't keep trying to earn it. Don't keep trying to do it yourself.
That's right.
Ask him to save you. And he will save all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's God's promise.
Amen.
And he keeps his promises. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your glorious grace. Thank you for my precious sister, Miss Beth. Thank you for her wonderful husband, Pastor Pat. I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to bless that whole family from generation to generation. And we look forward to the day when all of us will be gathered around your throne, loving and worshiping you and serving you forever. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen.